Good evening and welcome to Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Kathy Moser. I am your hostess with the mostest. I am currently in this hotel room in upstate New York. It's like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm really, really excited that I'm going to have the opportunity to bring you some live interviews that I recorded today from the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance with some great musicians who are also in recovery. The sound quality might be a little bit not what we're used to on this show because we've been like just grabbing people in hotel rooms. I mean, not like we're grabbing them, you know what I'm saying, but we're all very tired, but I have some great interviews for you. I'm so excited. So the first one is this guy who I really didn't know that well before, but I had seen him around and I knew that we shared this recovery bond. His name is Fred Arcoleo, like Galileo, and you're going to hear pieces of interview interspersed with some songs that he handed me a CD today, and then he emailed me some stuff, so I'm literally sitting on the bed in the hotel room here, but so excited to go to any lengths to bring you this show tonight. I thought we'd go ahead and start with a song. Fred emailed me this. He thought it would be a particularly good song for the show tonight, so this is Fred Arcoleo with his song New Year's.
This year has seen its share revelers and rioters. How do I begin again? Where are all the seeds and leaves and green? Birds and bees and breezes disappear. How can I turn over a new leaf when all the trees are bare? Years expire and I can't say goodbye. I hide behind the courage in my mind. My hand and place it on my heart, so I am sure I'm here.
I'm here with Fred Arcaleo, a very talented singer-songwriter. And can you tell us a little bit about more of what you do in your professional work, sir?
Well, the easy way to put it, I got it down to a science, I think, is a friend of mine told me one time she thought that my music was revolutionary rally folk serenades. And I was like, thank you for defining my life. But I think rally folk music has kind of helped me to realize that I'm trying to use music as a platform or as a way to help people to see the things that are going on in the world and feel a part of it, a part of history, a part of changing what is going on, because I feel like we're in a crisis. So that's kind of my rally folk music, is, I guess you could say, I'm a rally folk musician.
Excellent. Thank you. So just talking about the whole point of the radio show is to explore this. How does our recovery help our creativity? And how does our creativity help our recovery? So I was wondering if you had any thoughts on in what ways your creativity affects your recovery.
Wow. I mean, that's why I'm a creator. I feel like it's almost like I need to create to be sane. I need to try to continually define what is happening and where I need to go, and music has been a way, and poetry too, as I'm trying to work out an issue that's going on, and then it morphs into something that might not be exactly what I'm going through, but it's part of this whole atmosphere of recovery, and I guess that's one I would say.
Do you see any ways in which your being a creative person has been helpful or challenging for you as in your recovery?
Well, it was challenging when I first kind of got my act together. I was around, being a musician, you're out around late at night with a lot of people who are partying and staying up really late, and that was kind of a scene for me for a long time. And when I kind of tried to live a more sane life, I was still hanging out with folks that were doing that kind of stuff and staying up with the late hours and kind of not really taking care of themselves, and that was a challenge for sure. And we were creating beautiful things, but I was kind of off kilter at that point because I was kind of on a different trajectory. However, most of the time it's been a tremendous boon to my life. It's been a support and a warmth that has, and a way of figuring out things, like I said, that really has helped to keep me stable and sane and happy.
How long would you say it took you, like once you entered recovery, to kind of re-find your footing regarding your creativity and shift yourself into a new way of being related to your creativity?
That's a really good question. I would probably just throw out a year as a way to say that. A lot of my friends, I was kind of like the first person to kind of walk off the cliff, I guess you could say. And so later on, a lot of my friends did the same. And so after a while, I felt really gratified that some of my friends are in, they work in recovery now and are really doing tremendous things to help people. And so that was a boost to me later on. So I'd say a good year where I was definitely feeling out of place and looking around the room and where did my friends just go? Oh, they're in the bedroom right now. What are they doing? Right. They're supposed to be playing music. Which is, it was cute at the moment because I guess I trusted that they would take care of themselves, and I really am so lucky that the people that were around me, by and large, have really taken care of, have learned to take care of themselves.
That is a total blessing. Can you speak about some specific ways that you've learned? A lot of us, who had been drinking and drugging were completely lame in the self-care area. Yeah. And I was wondering if there are any specific things that you learned about yourself or learned for yourself that you needed to do for self-care that maybe surprised you or that you hadn't been doing before or that just become really important foundational.
You ask challenging questions. Well, one of the things that is true about me that may be part of why I kind of got involved in that whole scene, or it might be a separate thing, but I'm kind of one of those people they would label ADHD, and I'm kind of all over the place, multitasking, kind of loony in that way, very disorganized. Abstract random is another way I like to think about it. So I have had to learn, and this is in every aspect of my life, I've had to learn how to organize, how to create organization out of a kind of a, I don't want to say chaos, but out of a kind of abstract random orientation. So I kind of look at things in the big picture, and it's all big, like, morass, and I have to come to a way to grasp it, give it a shape, and then keep not lose it so I become boxed into some kind of conformist structure, but to be able to use it in a practical way. So I guess a lot of it is creating organizational structures like calendar, like wake up time, like when am I going to sleep time, when do I eat time. Very, very basic. And that's a continual challenge for me. I know it will be for my life, that it just to always look for organizational structure. I work well within structure, but sometimes you can get tied into it. So how to keep the dance going where you can keep creative, keep sane, and grow, I guess, and help people to grow.
During the next segment of the interview, Fred refers several times to the song called Groundhog Day, so I thought it'd be fun to hear it first.
It's been a long, cold winter, but don't you know we're bound to crawl out of this hole. The alarm's gone off, it's the boss's call, and the sun is coming up on the North Pole. Frost on my whiskers, I can't feel my nose, my teeth are chattering, my coat's full of holes. I had my dreams, I try to make them grow. It's been so cold, I thought they froze. I'm a groundhog, groundhog day. Well,
will you see your shadow, will you see your shadow?
I'm a groundhog, groundhog day. Well,
will you see your shadow, will you see your shadow?
Everybody's staring, it's a real show. Don't they know I've been here before? Going through emotions over and over till following my conscience doesn't feel like a chore. I survived another suicide, I must have lived 100,000 lives. One tiny cell swims against all odds, help me make it to the other side. I'm a groundhog, groundhog day. Well,
will you see your shadow, will you see your shadow?
I'm a groundhog, groundhog day. Well,
will you see your shadow, will you see your shadow?
Funny to be hoping for a cloudy day, but we need a change of scene. I know there's green beneath this gray, need some April showers to wash it clean. I'm a groundhog, groundhog day. Well,
will you see your shadow, will you see your shadow?
I'm a groundhog, groundhog day. Well,
will you see your shadow, will you see your shadow?
Do the groundhog, do the groundhog, do the groundhog, do the groundhog, yeah.
Is age also has made an issue with me. When I was younger, and I still, it's true, people look at me and they're like, you have a tremendous amount of energy. And I look back at my teens and 20s when I was really kind of raging, I had just unlimited energy. Like as a person, you'd see me racing, literally racing down the street. My friends make fun of me at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. We saw you sprinting down the street. I was like, yeah. So, but you know, after you're 30 and you're 40, you know, you start to you can't keep that up. If you do, you're really burning yourself out. So I've been grateful to find energy in space and silence and stillness. That has been it's a tremendous form of energy for me now, but it's a cultivated kind of energy. Yoga has helped me also to kind of cultivate that kind of stillness that is full of energy, because I think we don't realize. One thing someone told me once is that our body, you don't have to work to relax. Your body is naturally relaxed. What happens is we get in this hyped up state and we're kind of going against what is our natural inclination of our body, which is stillness.
Like many artists, Fred plays in several different art forms, including poetry. Check this out.
Stillness. The more still we become, the more we descend from our crystal imaginings, our man-made mirrors, sink into the tender, ferocious efficiency of the seed. Our fleshy density, our tiny eternity, the murmur underground, pregnant to bursting. No noise, only sound.
Well, I think that's another thing for many of us, people in addiction generally tend to leave the temple of the body.
Yeah.
They've like left the building, you know, Elvis has left the building, and then one piece of recovery is to come back into inhabiting your body, which if you don't have some tools to do that, that can be really challenging.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to creativity, honestly, for me. I actually have a poem called Breathe. It's this whole riff on that, exactly what you're saying, how to get into be yourself as opposed to some ideal of what you think you are, which is not grounded in reality.
Do you have that whole poem available to you in your head
right
now?
Yeah, it's a short poem, yeah.
Can we do that?
Sure, yeah,
let's
see how I can do this. Yeah, it's called Breathe. It says, breathing has been a way of living for me from the first slippery slap and cough. But 40 years of floating high above the needs that really feed us, forget to eat, forget to sleep, refuse to hear your neighbor's needs. We operate as if breathing were a guarantee. Or are we postponing life for some Hollywoodish afterbreath? Don't wait until those fumbly, frantic vows from a hospital bed, puckering for a kiss of air, as you wide-eyed realize, this is it. Breathe, damn it. Breathe. Make it a way of life.
That was so beautiful.
I usually recite that on demand, but I love that poem.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. And you know, I think it's a great transition to, you know, the yoga word for breath, prana, meaning life force. And I wonder if you see any parallels in spirituality of creativity versus spirituality of recovery, and ways that those might feed each other or be friends with each other.
Yeah, I mean,
or not.
Totally. It's all one to me. I mean, when I was in my real kind of like wild days, I literally thought I would not have another chance. I remember getting to states of mind where I was like, this is my last chance, and I blew it. And that was I thought life was going to be over, which looking back on it, what a striking thing to think for a 17 or 19 or 21-year-old. But I really didn't know. And I remember my friend telling me he didn't think he was going to make it to 26, and I was like, wow, that's a long way away. Like, I wasn't even thinking that far ahead. So, like, I really didn't. I would get to these states. And so now my life and my creative life is not any, it's completely part of who I am. I live that life is all about second chances and all about finding new life. If you listen to my music, it's all about new life, second chances, renovation, rejuvenation, rebirth. Every song has something in it. Even songs that don't seem to be about that, they're really about that. And that, to me, translates to a really optimistic view of the world, because I think we look at the world and it's in such crisis. And a lot of people are like hoping for the best or feeling like, forget it, this is it's all over. And I think there's another road, and that's the road of we are the ones we're waiting for. And that's one of my songs. And that concept that we have to remake this life and we have to be present in it. You can't ignore it. You can't pretend it's not there. You've got to face it. But if you face it, you got to face it with the support of Allah's millions and millions of people, literally, that I think are in recovery in a sense of looking at the world in a sober way. And it's funny because they use the word sobering, so it's so literal. They're looking at it in a sobering way and saying, it's doable to change this world. What is it going to entail? Well, it's a big job, so we're not doing it alone. But that really is my whole mission in life, is doing that.
So I love this. This is another great natural transition is I think a lot of people can get in trouble with their creativity when it feels like it's an act of ego. Mm-hmm. And that this can be dangerous, literally dangerous for the artist. And you seem to really be living in the using recovery as an act of service. Yeah. I mean, excuse me, using creativity as an act of service. And I wonder what any of your thoughts are on that. Because I know it's also not about like being a starving artist. It's not about giving away your talent. Right. What are your thoughts on?
Oh, but you're really getting some good questions because you got me on a roll here. Because we're at this conference, you know, the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance, and I love this place. But I tell you, there's a fear and there's button pushing coming here because I get scared when I'm around that kind of ego-centered stuff, and it repels me. And it's a difficulty sometimes because I don't want to withdraw from situations because I get afraid by that kind of power. Because I think the real power is in what you're talking about, kind of a collective service-oriented worldview. And that's kind of, I'm a high school teacher by day and night, but by trade, I guess you could say. And as an artist, that when I think of things to do as an artist, I think of what could we do to change things and make things better. And I'm involved in it, obviously, but I don't want it to be about what I'm doing. And it's tricky because you're trying to promote yourself, but that's the trick, is how do you... So really what I try to do is promote the thing, say rally folk music, or promoting an issue that I'm involved in, and that kind of helps to kind of mitigate against that, what can be for me a fear thing that can cause me to want to withdraw. Because I think we do need to, the opposite, what happens a lot, I think, people that are recovering or that are trying to find themselves, is you discount yourself, which we're going back to, like, not eating and not sleeping. I'm not worthy of it. I'm not good enough. And that can be the opposite of the, I am the monster, that I am the center of the universe. So I don't think it's a middle ground. I think both of those are polar. They're both part of the same pole of thinking you're the center. You either think you're the greatest or you think you're the worst. So forget about you. What about the world? Because you start focusing on the world, it's actually, you realize there's a lot of people trying to get something done, and you help them and you feel good and you get something done. So it sounds so easy when I'm telling you, but that's really, I spend a lot of time in my life trying to deal with that, taking care of my personal needs and not discounting or negating myself, but on the other hand, refusing to get involved in this, I am the dude, I'm the guru. And, sometimes that gets other people, stream by me and get into the center, the front of the line. And I go, well, maybe that was me, 20 years ago, thinking I was oblivious to other people. So, but there's people, they're angling for the next competitive, and I'm just, there's the breath, And then me thinking, I was just talking to another person here, we were talking about this, is feeling like you're going to be the most you can be. And people, after a while, they're either going to not get it or they will realize that you're there. And that is kind of your presence, and that goes even back to the breath, your presence and your work then speaks, and then people are not looking at you, they're looking at your work.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's, I don't know if you've heard this talk by Elizabeth Gilbert about the idea that in the past, in older cultures, they didn't think an artist was a genius, but they thought an artist had a genius.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was almost like a separate entity from them. And that we were in service to that, and that was a much more healthy way for an artist to
be. Oh, I love, you're just blowing my mind. I love that. Because it really is outside of us. This is you write a song, like I think of these songs. Songs don't come from inside of me. That's a crazy thing. I mean, they come from the environment, and I add, put it together. I like sew the last knot to it or something. The concept, like I play a G chord, where'd that come from? I didn't invent that. This is so. One thing I use in my classes a lot, and I use with among other teachers, all knowledge is social. There's no such thing as someone, copyright stuff to me is a crazy concept. No one has ever invented anything. It's all part of a collective process that we're lucky to be engaged in.
Hmm. Well, you know, the other thing I'm thinking about, I love what you said about if you're focused on your work and you're just being the most you that you can be, that eventually people aren't looking at you, they're looking at your work, which is absolutely true. And I think it's interesting about the ambition, you know, we can still have artistic ambition, right? And we can still have artistic excellence, but we're not trying to be, it's not about us. And this is like another recovery principle that kind of comes to mind, is like principles before personalities. Like, what if I'm more caring about the excellence of the song or the excellence of the performance so that I'm giving this thing to the audience? That's an interesting thing I think about way art fundamentally being an act of service, because we have it in the language. We give a performance.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, right? That's really good.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm really intrigued by the, I'm so glad we're having this conversation. Just for our listeners, to let you know that all of these people that are sitting down to interview at this conference, this is a really hectic conference and really busy time, and people are spending money and resources to be here. So I really appreciate you taking the time out in order to do this. But I love the way that you kind of tied it back into that the self-care, you know, is allowing you to be more of service.
Yeah.
In a way. I don't think you said it exactly like that, but I kind of heard it that way. Like, you're not discounting yourself.
Right.
You're not giving from an empty well.
Yeah. And I've had this, it's a constant challenge for me. I do a lot of political work in the teachers' unions and in the community with young people. And it's just as true in my creativity as it is there, is that you're no good to anyone when you're not taking care of yourself. But it's so hard. And that goes back to my own recovery over and over, which is another song I have, Groundhog Day, you know, that movie where you have to keep doing it over and over. Every day I'm like, damn, I was just here. It's like, and I'm at peace with that now. It's just a constant process of renovation. And wow, what am I eating right now? What, you know, did I eat today? You know, what is, you know, not today, because I'm getting much better than that. But being at the conference, for example, there's no lunch. I usually have snacks with me. That just kind of ordinary, and you think, well, this guy is an adult, but everyone has their challenges, and I think that is, that's how you become of service to people, is focusing on, you take care of yourself and work on, so you can do your work, and you connect with others. And one other thing I would say, too, is it's helped me to focus on projects, so that is externalizing whatever I think I should be doing, is, it's not about me, it's about the project, and so it could be a music project that could benefit me, so it's not like it has to, I'm sacrificing and I'm a missionary, but the sense that, excuse me, I'm serving people through work that I'm doing and hopefully working with other people, that is a sustaining and sustainable way for me to approach, you know, daily life, I guess.
It's been such a complete pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and talk to me.
Really lovely, Kat. I really appreciate the opportunity to think through these things, because, like, you know, it's another opportunity for me to recover and to be part of, it's creative to engage in it. Thank you so
much. Well, thanks for being part of this experiment.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you so much for listening to Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery on City of Angels Radio. Recovery Radio, don't forget, there's shows on every single day of the week now. And it's been my pleasure to be with you tonight. Oh my gosh, it's 3:00 in the morning, folks, now, I'd like to tell you. And it's been totally worth staying up late to get this interview out to you. And we look forward to hearing from you. And don't forget, you can go to the website and see all the links, and you can figure out where Fred's playing, where you can get his music. And let us know what else you'd like to hear, what other kind of experiments in creativity and recovery. And be well. Thanks.